If I can find it, I lost my place. And I've got it memorized anyway. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is our source of vitality of faith and our strength of hope. It's Jesus Christ. So I'm glad that you've come today so that we can worship him together. Also, if you will, just notice the announcements in the bulletin. Session's going to meet next weekend. And there's also an announcement about our inquirer's orientation. During the month of October, we're asking for you to turn in a pledge. If you do, it helps us set our budget. And I do believe that back on this back table, there's some pledge cards if you haven't gotten yours yet. But we would love it if you were able to prayerfully consider your time, talent, and resources as we go into the upcoming year. But keep that also in your prayers. As it comes to prayers, if he's not here this morning, but if you do see Holden Bolware, give him a shout out, because him and a few other of his classmates from high school came in third place in the national cook-off that they do. It's kind of like Chopped on TV. Also, I know that our prayer list is very, very full, but Louise and Harold Maxwell would appreciate prayers for their granddaughter, who had sort of a rare injury to her leg, and it's going to be a very long recovery. It looks like things are going to be okay, but they would appreciate your prayers for her. Her name's Lauren. If you will, turn to those around you. Welcome them in the peace and fellowship of Jesus Christ. Join me, please, in the call to worship. There is in store for me the crown of righteousness.
The Lord, the righteous judge, will award it to me.
The Lord stands at my side and gives me strength.
The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom.
To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. God, thank you that you see us as your greatest prize, your highest goal, that a relationship with us, your people, is your most valuable reward. Thank you that you remain so incredibly faithful in being with us, carrying us, empowering us, gifting us and granting us a place not only in your kingdom, but also in your ministry. As we praise you and thank you, our request this morning is you'd unleash your Holy Spirit to give us the strength of purpose, the energy of faith, and the inspiration of your love as we give you all praise, honor, and glory. And we pray this in the name of Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. And let's praise the Lord by singing, "Serve the Lord with gladness." You'll find that as an insert in your bulletin, but let's stand and sing, "Serve the Lord with gladness."
Please be seated. God says in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, knowing we will be met by God's grace, let us turn to the Lord and walk in his ways as we confess together the prayer of confession as it is found in your bulletin. Merciful and forgiving God, forgive me when I declare you Lord, but leave no room for you in my daily activities. Forgive me when I declare you Lord, but ignore your presence because I get so busy. Forgive me when I declare you, Lord, but serve myself rather than serving others. Forgive me for treating my spiritual growth in ministry just the responsibility. In your abundance grace, Bring me into joyful service and thankful worship as I consider your steadfast goodness to me. Amen.
Children of God, hear the good news that announces God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have life everlasting. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven, and be at peace. And let's celebrate this forgiveness. Let us respond to this good news of great joy as we stand to our feet and sing together the Gloria Patri. Be seated. This moment is not only about giving, it's also a moment where we consider what we value most. If we value all the many ways in which God has blessed our lives, hopefully His love will motivate us to share that blessing with others. And even if we do value our resources that God has so abundantly provided, hopefully we can give a portion of those as well because we value the ministry of Jesus Christ and we know the difference it can make in someone's life. So with all this in mind, let's consider God's goodness. And if we are grateful, may we show our thanks through the offering of ourselves, our time, our talents, and our resources.
Thank you, Lord, for your generous blessings. Here is just a small portion return to you as tithes and offerings to be used to further your mission in our church, our community, and the world. Help us always to seek to do your will in all things, and help us always to remember all things are made possible with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If our young people want to come up, I would love to have a minute with you guys. Some of y'all were already up here. Thanks for helping with the offering. I'm going to show this to the audience and I'll show it to y'all, but lost and found bucket, okay? I got it from the office. We have this so that if somebody finds something that someone may have left behind or lost, they can come and see if maybe we've got it for them. Because, you know, sometimes we have things that are important to us, and if we don't keep up with them, we need to find them. I was looking in here, and, you know, if these were my glasses and I had lost them, I would definitely look for them. I don't know if y'all know, but when I have to read up close, I need these. So if I lost these, I'd go looking for them. Michael, why don't you reach in there and take something out? Okay, you got some money. You got some money. Michael reached in and got some money. Let me ask you this, Michael. If you had money and you lost it, would you go looking for it? $1 bill. Yeah, but what if you lost it? You wouldn't have it to give. Would you look for it if you lost it? I know I would. Oh, it's only $1. He may not go look for it. Okay. Well, next time we'll have bigger stakes, okay? Ah, you know what that is? You put tea leaves in there and you drop that in your hot water, and that way you can have hot tea. So without that, somebody can't have their hot tea in the morning. So if they lost that, they would need to find it. Otherwise, no way to have hot tea. At least hot tea that tastes good. So drinking hot water in the morning wouldn't be all that tasty, would it? I wouldn't think so. All right, look in there. What's something you want to grab? Ah, throat lozenge. Yeah, you might lose a throat lozenge. Would you go look for it if you had a cold? Probably, yeah, I would too, because I hate it when my throat hurts. So that's something I'd definitely go, what's something you want to grab out of our lost and found? Oh, a gold cross necklace. Wow. If that had been a very special necklace of yours, and it came off your neck and you lost it, would you go look for it? Yeah. All right, let's see if you can find something more valuable worth looking for in here. See if there's something you might want to go look for if you'd lost it.
These.
Car keys. Yeah, I would definitely want to find my car keys because I'm going nowhere without them. So I would definitely want to find my car keys. Here, why don't you put those back in there? Because I'll need to drive home later today. So, yeah, these are all things that if we lost them, I think most of us, unless it was the dollar, we'd go look for them because they're very, very valuable to us. Well, you know, Jesus was trying to tell us how valuable we are to God. He wanted us to know how important we are to God. And so he told two stories about things being lost. And I want you to hear what he says in the Gospel of Luke. He told this parable. What man of you has 100 sheep? If he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one is lost until he finds it. And when he's found it, he puts it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors And he says, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Even so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." But you know, Jesus wasn't done telling us how important we are to God. Not only are we important as a sheep is to a shepherd, he says this: "What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says, 'Rejoice with me, for I found the coin which I had lost.' Even so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." When it talks about one sinner who repents, it's talking about people that turn to God and say, "I know that you need to be my Lord and Savior. I want you not only in my life, but in my heart." Because you know what? You're in God's heart. God holds you in his heart because you're of more value than money. A lot more than a dollar, Michael. Even more valuable than a car and lost car keys. Jesus doesn't want you to wander away from him. But I guarantee you, if you do, he'll find you. So that if you turn, you'll find he's right there with you. So let's pray and let's thank God that he values us so much that he comes and calls us into his presence. Let's pray. God, thank you for these children, for we know they are valuable, we know they're wonderful, and we know that in your sight they are incredible. So much so that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for their sins so that they could be forgiven, so that when he rose from the grave, they could rise with him to eternal life. Thank you that you value us all in that way. And Lord, as we see what great love you have for us, let it dwell in our hearts, and may we share it with one another. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up and sharing. I really appreciate it.
I found the $1 bill. Like, if I was at church, I would go look for it, but I want to go out of my way to look for it. So.
Okay, Michael would look for the dollar bill. He just wouldn't look too hard. So, just so you know.
I mean, if I was at church, I would look, but I want to go like out of my way.
Yeah.
Okay. If I was in Africa, I wouldn't go look for it.
If you were in Africa, you wouldn't go look for it. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, you got to know where you're going if you're over there. Well, y'all give them a round of applause. Thanks so much. We'll sing our next hymn as we praise God together, and that shall be "Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us," hymn 387. Let's stand and sing hymn 387.
Thank you.
Please be seated. After a long period marked by sin and turning away from God, the Lord promises to renew his covenant with the people. God will change their hearts, and they will be a people who enjoy living by God's ways rather than their own. As we hear these words, may we open our hearts to the Lord, may we receive God's love, and be those who are inspired to follow the Lord's ways. We will read responsively Jeremiah 31, verses 27. So if you'd like to follow along, you can open your pew Bibles and go to Jeremiah 31. And it's found on 735 in your pew Bible. Let's hear the word of the Lord. These days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seeds of human and the seeds of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow and destroy and to bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the other covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, although I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their people and their God. And they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
That was. Thank you so much, choir. We're going to hear one last word of encouragement from the Apostle Paul to the very young minister, Timothy. It's an encouragement to endure. And you know, if endurance were easy, everybody would be able to endure. But it's not. And so that's why these words of Paul are so important. And he's going to let us know that we need to have that vision of the future where we, with certain hope, are going to be receiving a welcome from God the Father that is so grand and great, we can't even picture how good it's going to be. And as we envision that that's where our life is headed, he's also going to say, but it's not just about that future that we look forward to finally making it to that moment. It's the fact that Jesus Christ is with us now to see to it we'll get there. And so he's going to talk to us about those things. So I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, if you'd like to follow along. As for me, I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I've sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You also must be aware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At the company Bell Laboratories, I read that they have a black box with one switch on it. And when you turn on the switch, a skeleton arm comes out of the box. It takes hold of the switch and it turns itself off. That's all it does. The box is wired to turn itself off. I thought about that and I realized, you know, we can become like that skeleton arm that comes out of the box. I mean, our lives, as you very well know, they can get really busy, they can get very stressful. They can be quite demanding. And it's easy to go home and, like that skeleton arm, just reach for the switch and turn everything off. I don't want to tell you this morning we can never rest, because rest does have a good place in our life. I don't want to tell you that it's not good to rest or recharge, but if we rest, it should be so that we can re-engage. If we take time to recharge, it should be so that we can turn back on. It's okay to call time out, but we call time out so that we can regather or regroup and call time in again. I have a friend's church who joins with a neighboring Episcopal congregation to host a weekend of VBS together. And there's nothing wrong at all with joining forces and doing ministry. As a matter of fact, I think that's kind of neat. But my friend says that the reason his congregation has to do it is because so many of them have said, I did vacation Bible school for years when my child was growing up. Been there, done that. It's now someone else's turn. Now, I'm glad when it comes to VBS, that's not the case at this particular church. But I use that as an illustration because it shows how easy it can be for us to cease participating in God's purpose for our lives. Complacency or even quitting can affect both individuals and congregations alike. And so in the scripture we just heard this morning, Paul wants Timothy to fulfill the ministry that God has called him to do. You see, ministry's been somewhat tough. I mean, Paul's in jail and he's soon going to be put to death for the ministry he had. So if they're going to do that to him, just imagine what it's going to be like for Timothy. But you see, why this is important for all of us, and not just pastors, is God's got a purpose for you. You're here for a reason. Like God did with young Timothy, it may be that within your own home, or it could be at your place of work, or in the community of your friends, God is calling you to be His witness. Whether it be filling up our Janie bags yet again, or volunteering at CISC, or praying every day with your children, or teaching them Bible stories at your home, God has put us here to represent Him and point to His kingdom. We are, as 2 Peter says in Scripture, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. But you may know it's tempting to give up or give in, especially as the world calls us to engage in its own activities, thinking that those rewards will have better or more lasting payoff. To fight the good fight could mean that we stay like the soldier on active duty rather than a deserter or considered missing or AWOL. You see, the dark forces of this world don't want to see you representing God's kingdom. They don't want to see you successfully being God's witness. And they certainly don't want you experiencing God's power as you step into the purpose for which God has called you. They would love to turn off your ministry switch. A church member, though, in the last congregation I pastored, and they were really honest when they said this, they highlighted the significance and the need of Paul's encouragement to Timothy and us when that church member told me, Brian, it's hard to fulfill your ministry when the best you can accomplish is getting to the doctor's office to receive a halfway decent good bill of health. Sometimes the best I can do is to remember what pills to take when. That woman's statement acknowledges that, boy, we really can and we do feel weak and worn out. It's interesting that when Paul encourages Timothy to finish the race, Paul is writing while he is in, for himself, the worst circumstances possible. His ability to share the gospel and win people to Jesus Christ has landed him in prison. He's in chains. And he'll soon go before the emperor of Rome to plead his case, but probably be put to death. Paul is enduring and he's persevering, however, because he realizes, I won't get to preach to all of Rome, but I do get to go before its most powerful leader and tell him he needs Jesus Christ in his life. And so Paul's enduring. He's persevering, which means we can as well. Verse 8 says, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which not just anybody, but which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but all who have longed for his appearing. To endure means our life focus isn't on immediate earthly rewards and accolades. It is knowing that not just anyone, but that the Lord God Almighty will crown us on the day we cross the finish line. Paul's endurance in the present came from this focus on the future. It would require delayed gratification, which is hard. But he endured hardship now, knowing that he had assured victory later. And verse 8 lets us know there's a heavenly reward far greater than what we could possibly imagine, that isn't reserved just for the giants like Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, but for all who long and look forward to being at home with the Lord. That is our focus. Further on down the road to that certain and assured victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, talked about looking forward and to what it could be like. And he related it to his puppy. When Martin Luther's puppy happened to be at his table one evening, the dog looked up to his master with that look in his eyes that only dogs can give. And you have a dog, you know what I'm talking about. The puppy so wanted a morsel from his master. The puppy knew whatever his master was eating had to be good. The dog's mouth was already half open. His eyes were fixed on his master's every move, and his tail was just wagging and wagging in anticipation of receiving the prize. Here's what Martin Luther said. Oh, if I could only pray and focus on the kingdom of God the way my dog watches the meat. All his thoughts are concentrated and focused on receiving that one piece of meat. As his tail wags, he has no other thought or hope. Paul had a clear vision of the future and the ultimate reward it would bring. But he also had faith in the present. He states in verses 16 and 18, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Or to paraphrase, I know Jesus is with me even right here and right now. And it's not my strength, but His that I receive. Paul's letting us know he found supernatural strength in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who stood with him in every second and every situation of his day. And just like Jesus, if you remember, who faced Pontius Pilate alone, Because all his friends and followers had abandoned him, Paul explains he's been deserted by everyone as well, except Luke. But verse 17 claims he has never, ever been fully abandoned, nor has he ever been completely alone, because Jesus stood with him. Someone had come unseen into his situation and into the courtroom, and that someone was Jesus, the author and the giver of life, the victor over sin and death, the forgiver and the redeemer, the resurrection, who knew what it was like to be all alone. So the love, the joy, the peace that passes all understanding entered into Paul's situation in the very moment it looked as if he could do no more. The one who long ago stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, Paul says, is the same one who stood with him now. The same one who rescued Daniel from the mouth of the lion and the lion's den. The one that enabled that young shepherd boy to go out and face the giant Goliath. The one who knew what it was like to be betrayed by everyone else stood by Paul's side. The good news for us this morning is if we will just look with eyes of faith and hear that promise, you will see Jesus Christ is standing with you as well. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. In one of the Summer Olympics in the women's 5,000 meter race, when everything was on the line and all the runners were running for the gold, one of the athletes, Abby DiAgostino, immediately stopped running in order to help New Zealand's Nikki Hamblin, who was injured after getting tangled up with another competitor and fell to the track. Abby helped Nikki to her feet. She put Nikki's arm over her shoulder, and she saw to it that the injured Nikki finished the race. It cost Abby everything to stop and help, but she did it without thinking. Of all the photos, and maybe you saw this, but of all the photos taken at that Summer Olympics and of all the events that were won, Abby and Nikki limping together across that finish line in last place was the most inspiring and talked about victory in the Rio Olympics. Please remember when Jesus was on his cross and the world was telling him he could do no more. Jesus' reply wasn't to give in nor to give up. Instead, Jesus entrusted his life to God by crying out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Interestingly enough, those were not his last words. In fact, they were just the beginning. From his 40 days in the wilderness, and even during his time on the cross, Jesus knew God's Spirit was with him and he was never doing anything alone. By commending his life to God, he knew the Holy Spirit would guarantee that he crossed the finish line. With that in mind this morning, just want to remind you, God has a purpose for you. And this morning, God calls you to continue the ministry that Jesus started so long ago. So look forward to the joy that will be yours when you cross the finish line. And know the race that you now run, you never run alone. That's why you will finish. You have good and great help. Have it as your goal, as you will one day find. It will be your highest and greatest reward. Amen. May we turn to Jesus Christ, who is here and with us now. And let us say what we believe, and let's do that using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let's stand and announce our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Oh God, even though we've returned to our seats, let that good and wonderful news that you are always with us, always at our side, be such news of joy that it brings us once more to our feet. If we're weary, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give rest to our soul. If we're worried, I pray that your promises would calm our anxious days. Lord, I pray that we would find renewal in your constant and faithful presence. Thank you so much that you never give up on us. And even though the ministry to which you call each and every one, thank you for the fact that it is not just for a good cause, but the greatest cause of all. And that in partnership with you, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So that the doing of your will is indeed possible. It is indeed doable. It is enjoyable. I pray you would empower your churches everywhere to show and announce the love of Christ. That they would tell the world what you've done in the gift of your Son. That we would sense the nearness of your Holy Spirit and have our faith in you renewed. Even though we ask for help in carrying out your ministry, thank you for the constant ministry you have to us. And let that ministry be present to all in the world that are broken and certainly to the people on our prayer list and those that will be thought of in our hearts throughout this day. So that we might shine bright in a dark world and people may come to know your presence. And as we ask all of this and thank you for being a God that is so for us and not against us, we just ask that you would receive us as we come praying the way in which Jesus taught us by praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we stand to go forth into the world, let us fittingly and prayerfully sing, "Make Me a Servant." You'll find the words there in your bulletin. As you go, may the love of God, the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be in you and with you, now and forever. Amen.